and this is Ozarks at Large. Since the onset of the pandemic, thousands of Arkansans have spent a half hour or so most days watching the daily briefings from Governor Asa Hutchinson, designed to give us updates about the state's approach to the virus and the associated economic fallout. Almost every day, we've also heard from Dr. Nate Smith, Arkansas's Secretary of Health. This weekend, Dr. Smith, from a very safe social distance, sat down with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics, to discuss where we've been during the outbreak and where we might be headed. Roby asked Dr. Smith about the congregate populations that have had some high spikes of infection, including prisons and nursing homes, and what can be done to make those populations safer.
Part of the answer is that it's really very, very difficult to protect your most vulnerable as long as you have lots of transmission in the community. I think a lot of people pointed to the example of Sweden, where they had a strategy where they would really not be concerned about transmission in the community, but try and protect the most vulnerable. Well, I don't think that strategy really works very well, and I'm not sure it's working very well for them, because it's impossible to protect the most vulnerable if you have a lot of COVID-19 activity outside of those settings.
Did luck play a little bit of part in us not getting hit as hard as some other places? I mean, we didn't have a Mardi Gras, we didn't have a spring break, we don't have that population density. Was some of it just blind luck?
I guess you could call it whatever you want. Divine providence is probably what I would prefer to say.
Senator Rand Paul testified on Tuesday that he suggested schools could open this fall because children are not becoming as infected with this as older people in the population have been. First of all, do you kind of share that sentiment, number one? And two, what are going to be the conditions for in-person education this fall?
Well, the latter part of your question, I think the governor has made it clear, and I think many other governors as well, that the intention is that we would have an in-class school year starting in the fall, and I really hope that is possible. I think we will all work very hard to make that possible. Now, the first part of your question was, are kids immune to COVID-19? Not really. Fortunately, they are less likely to become severely ill, but as we have learned from the experience in New York and some other places, there are some complications from COVID-19 that can very adversely affect children. And so we want to protect our children, but also in a school setting, it's not just children, it's their teachers. And many of our school teachers have risk factors. And then it's their families when they come home, and it's grandparents, et cetera. So we are a highly integrated society, and I don't think it's possible to just say, let COVID-19 run loose in this sector and then hope that we can protect others.
I think a lot of people, and I see this in the press conferences, I have these same thoughts too. We want to pin you down on what is going to be the environment to allow some of these things to happen. And that's probably a little bit of I'll know it when I see it kind of attitude in terms of looking at the data and understanding. Is that a fair assessment, or is there something a little bit more structured in the decision making?
Right. The best response to many of these settings is highly contextual. By that, I mean, we got to see what the situation is, what the best choices are, and our knowledge, our understanding of this virus is emerging very quickly. Remember, this was not really even known until the very end of December. Really wasn't identified until the first part of this year, and it seems like an eternity, but it's only May.
It's too late to reopen schools this year, and that decision was made a few weeks ago. But if you're looking at the environment we have now as we're reopening businesses and other parts of Arkansas, if the circumstances were like they are right now this fall, would you have confidence in opening up the schools for in-person education?
I think things would have to be different before I would be comfortable opening the schools. But I could see a variety of scenarios. We have seen a general downward trend, both in terms of new cases and hospitalizations. And over the course of the summer, we're able to sort of wrangle this epidemic in Arkansas down to the ground to where we have a very, very low case numbers. Then I think that going to school and being highly vigilant, if we had an outbreak, jumping on it quickly with our case investigations and contact tracing. I think that would be one option. Another option is to scale up our testing to such a point that we can basically be screening people often enough to know who's positive and who's negative. If there's no one who's infected, then it doesn't really matter what you do in terms of social distancing, you're going to be okay. But to have that testing capability to where you could know that for sure, that's not where we are now, but it could be where we are in the fall.
In this reopening of Arkansas for business, what was the pivotal juncture for you to feel like it was time to do that? There's a set of data points that you're looking at. There's some reality of we've got to get the economy moving again. What kind of tipped you past the point of it's okay for us to take a little bit of the foot off the gas pedal on the restrictions on this?
Well, for me, in terms of that decision, it was a very complicated decision. There's a lot of factors involved. I know it was a tough decision for the governor to make. When are we going to start moving forward? But as you pointed out, we can't stay in lockdown forever. You know, once we run out of financial resources, no one has a job, no one has any money, we can't protect anyone from anything, let alone COVID-19. On the other hand, we had gotten a lot of positive benefit over the things that we did. We really were able to bend the curve. None of the dire predictions from the predictive models really came true in terms of surge, hospital capacity, ventilators, things like that. So we knew we were going to be okay from that standpoint. And so the question is, can you completely get rid of it with the things that we were doing? Not likely in a state like Arkansas, where we've got surrounding states that all have at least as high or higher case per population. So when is it safe to start moving in that direction? Once we saw the number of cases coming down, the president's opening up America again, gating criteria, meeting those were all things that were telling us we were heading in a direction where it was safe to start reopening and watching carefully.
What was the gating criteria? It wasn't the 14-day downward trajectory, because we've not had 14 days of moving downward with our caseloads. What was the gating criteria?
Well, the gating criteria are threefold. The first one had to do with symptoms and COVID-like symptoms. That was a 14-day, more than 14-day downward trend. Also, there's a system called ILINET, Influenza-Like Illness Network, which we used during flu season, and we did see a downward trend on that one as well. So that was the first criteria. The second one was cases, and there was a 14-day downward trend in cases, which we eventually did meet, but also a downward trend, 14-day downward trend in the percent positive tests, and we clearly met that one. It was an either or on that criteria. And then the third criteria had to do with hospital capacity. And we were never close to our maximum hospital capacity.
Well, was it always about making sure that we didn't overwhelm the hospital resources? That has been an argument that some people have made is, we weren't doing this to eliminate the coronavirus. It was going to be in our communities and in our system no matter what. The goal originally with the lockdown was to keep the hospital system from being overwhelmed. Was that what was driving policy at that time, or was there more than that?
Well, that has always been an important policy objective, both nationally and here in Arkansas as well. And it's important because in settings where they have overwhelmed the healthcare system, the number of deaths and people injured is not just those who have COVID-19, but those who had treatable conditions who couldn't get care because they couldn't get into a hospital, or they were afraid to go to the hospital because they were afraid of getting COVID-19. And that's still very much a real part of our policy objectives, is to get our healthcare system back up and running. There are still people I know who are reluctant to go to the doctor or go to the hospital because they're afraid of COVID-19. I mentioned yesterday that my in-laws were concerned about going to a needed clinic visit because of that, and we just had a conversation, and fortunately they went, and my father-in-law got the care that he needed. But I think a lot of people have those concerns. But it's not the only policy objective. Obviously, I'm equally concerned about saving people's lives, not overwhelming our healthcare system. It's a both and. In public health, we oftentimes have to do more than one thing at one time.
Was there any political pressure to restart the economy, to reopen the economy? Was this you coming to the governor and saying it's time to do this, or was this the governor coming to you and saying, Nate, when is the time to do this?
This has been an ongoing conversation between me and the governor from the beginning, and I understand that public health isn't just about health care. It's about people's entire environment they live in. We sometimes call that the social determinants of health. Right. And I will guarantee you that there'll be more people who die this year in Arkansas from conditions that are more closely tied to their socioeconomic status than to COVID-19.
Obesity, diabetes, heart failure, things like that.
Exactly. We are very, very interrelated between our economy, education, and health. It's really not possible to achieve optimal health for all without a strong and healthy economy and a good educational system.
Let's move back to testing that we talked about earlier. We've laid out some goals for where we're going to try to get with testing. You've got the 60,000 mark that you guys have put out there. I think you've got 90,000 new test kits. That number may have changed. What's the best we're going to get in terms of testing in Arkansas? And we're not alone in this. Every state's struggling. But what's the highest percentage of what we're going to be able to test? And what would you prefer we be able to do if there was no limitation on those resources?
Well, I think we're going to be able to achieve a lot more in terms of testing. Quite honestly, now anyone who needs a complete blood cell count or a Chem-7, can go into the hospital or go into a clinic and they can get that test done. The testing for COVID-19 is no more complicated. And so we will get there, I am confident. In fact, we will probably, just the way markets work, we'll probably overshoot where there'll be eventually more supply than demand.
Dr. Nate Smith is Arkansas's Secretary of Health. This weekend, he spoke with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can find out more at talkbusiness.net.